Sup, freaks? It's your boy Marty here to introduce Rabbit Hole Recap. High quality rip, dense rip. It was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Capital, who just launched their trading desk. This is the best way to buy Bitcoin. You set up a 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, and then you just buy Bitcoin that goes directly into the vault. You don't have to buy it on an exchange, hold it on that exchange, and then move it over to a wallet that you control. You set up the wallet, you hold 2 of the 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum, so you always have control of your Bitcoin. You buy Bitcoin, it goes straight to your vault. You go straight to cold storage with a geographically dispersed security model. It's a beautiful thing. It's available in 31 states right now. They're working on getting it to 50 states. If you're not an Unchained customer yet, you want to check it out, go to unchained.com/trading. Again, I've used the product. It's incredible. It's the best way to buy Bitcoin right now. Just buy straight to multi-sig cold storage. It's a beautiful thing. They're working on 50 states. They're at 31 now. So go check to see if your state is available. If you're a Bitcoiner, high net worth individual, a business looking to secure your Bitcoin, there's nobody I can recommend higher than Unchained Capital. Go to unchained.com to check out everything they have going on. Unchained.com/trading to check out the trading desk. This trip was also brought to you by good friends at Brains. Brains Pool is here. No more Slush Pool. We had our vigil. Slush Pool had a run. It's now Brains Pool. But don't worry, nothing's changed. They got the same pool history. It's the same company, just a new name. You don't have to do anything if you were a member of Brains Pool. The only thing that's changed is the name. It's Brains Pool now. And Brains, not only do they have the pool, they have an auto-tuning firmware that's going to help you idiot-proof your mining operations called Brains OS Plus firmware. If you have an ASIC that is compatible with Brains OS Plus and you're not using it, you're an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Nobody likes to be an idiot. Download the firmware. Stack more sats with your hash. Elongate the life cycle of your ASIC. And get to do more cool things from the data side of things. Go to brains.com, BRAIINS.com, to check out everything they have going on. Again, they have Brains Pool. They have Brains Insights, which is a great dashboard with a bunch of information. They have Brains OS Plus firmware. They have their blog as well, their book series. I'm going to shill that since I wrote the foreword. I'm holding it up backwards like an idiot. Bitcoin Mining Handbook. I wrote the foreword. Daniel Frumkin wrote the book. Brains.com. Check out all this stuff. This report was also brought to you by good friends at HODL HODL. HODL HODL is here to bring you a peer-to-peer lending platform. No KYC, no AML. What you do is you put your Bitcoin up as collateral in a 2 or 3 multi-sig escrow account. You hold one of those three keys, so you have visibility into the escrow account so they know that your sats are not being rehypothecated. In return for your Bitcoin collateral, you get stable coins that you can go spend as you see fit, as long as you're paying that loan back. Plus the interest associated with it, you're going to get your sats back at the end of the day. Speaking of the interest associated with it, it's very low relative to other lending platforms right now. So if you're looking to take out a Bitcoin collateralized loan at a relatively low interest rate, go to lend.hodlhodl.com. Again, peer-to-peer, no KYC, no AML, lend.hodlhodl.com. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Upstream Data. Upstream Data is here to build you the mining tools that you need. They have their black box, which is for at-home miners. You buy the black box, you put miners in it, you shut the box, and it makes less sound than your air conditioner outside. Excuse me, I'm burping during the ad read. Excuse me. Logan's laughing in the corner. The black box, if you want to mine at home, reduces the sound, controls the heat, allows you to stack sats, no non-KYC AML sats in the comfort of your own home. If you want a black box, use the code FREAKS. You're going to get 5% off that black box. If you're looking for a bundle, you can get a black box and ASICs. Upstream will take care of that for you. Beyond the at-home mining, they have industrial scale mining equipment as well with their hash huts. I'm a hash hut owner. I have a 50 kilowatt hash hut and generator that Upstream built, and it's one of the highest quality mining products that I've come into contact with since I've been mining Bitcoin. It's been running like a beast. The only time we have downtime is when we need to change the oil in the generator, and we only ever have to go down for like 45 minutes at the most. I don't think we've missed a block yet since we've had to change our oil in our Upstream Data generator. I have a 50 kilowatt hash hut. They have 180 kilowatt, a 900 kilowatt, and they're working on other sizes as well. So whether or not you're a small stranded gas miner like myself or a larger utilities company or Upstream, oil and gas operator. Upstream Data is here building the equipment that you need, getting you the generators, and again, they'll get you the ASICs as well. Go to shop.upstreamdata.ca for the Hash Hut, or excuse me, for the Black Box. If you want to do a sales consultation for the Hash Huts, go to upstreamdata.ca. Tell them that TFTC sent you. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Crowd Health. We're trying to bring the sovereignty that Bitcoiners love to the healthcare industry. What you do is you sign up and you become a Crowd Health member. I'm a Crowd Health member. My family is. You pay a monthly fee that goes to a dedicated bank account. That account builds up, and if you ever have a medical, you have to go to the doctor for anything or get a procedure, what you do is you take the bill, you bring it to Crowd Health, you pay the first $500 of that bill, and then the rest of the Crowd Health community helps you crowdsource that healthcare expense. They've had 100% of their bills paid. The beauty of the Bitcoin community as well, go to joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC to join the Bitcoin community. Portion of your monthly subscription fee goes into a bank account, and another portion goes into a Bitcoin account. You're stacking sats alongside of cuckbucks in your healthcare account. And you have control of these accounts at the end of the day. If you ever want to leave Crowd Health, you can take your money back, your cuckbucks and your sats. It's a beautiful thing. And then on top of that, you have a personal health advocate who's going to be with you, the same person throughout every step of your healthcare journey. As the years go on, and they're going to negotiate prices lower for you. That's one thing that the health insurance industry does not do. They don't care about getting you the best deal. They just care about getting your money and jacking up the prices. So the whole grift of the pharma healthcare system can make as much money as possible and eke as much money out of you. Crowd Health knows that you can negotiate prices, and they do that on your behalf. So go to joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC to sign up for the Bitcoin community. The first 1,000 members of the Bitcoin community are going to get $99 a month for the first 6 months of their Crowd Health subscription. Enjoy this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap 218. Decay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Oh, we're live.
Last rip and Cars Ninja launching on us.
Oh, hold on. Wait a second. We're live.
And we're live. What's up, freaks? What a week. Early rip, coffee rip. I have coffee in my hand. Matt and I had some afternoon obligations today. We had to move it up. It was either that or late afternoon. Matt doesn't like the coffee rips. Why not, Matt?
I can't do the coffee rips. I mean, I do the coffee rips, right? So
you're here.
I'm here. I'm here, and when we realized that the middle of the day wasn't gonna work. Said we could do late afternoon or we could do early morning. We could do morning, and I said morning. So,
yeah, you picked it.
I don't know. I like being able to have a beer, get comfortable in my afternoon, finish it with a nice strong Rabbit Hole Recap.
Well, I like. I mean, I like both rips. I'm agnostic. Doesn't matter if it's a morning rip or an afternoon rip. Each rip has its pros and cons. Morning rip, you get it done. Then your afternoon's free. You can be more productive.
But in this case, the afternoon isn't free. Like, I got shit to do in the afternoon.
Yeah, we're going to be productive. It's going to be good. We're going to get our synapses firing during this talk. We're going to have ideas come to light that we can then think on in the afternoon and incorporate it into our afternoon activities.
With the RHR, it's a little bit different, right? Because the RHR, it's like... So like I wake up in the morning when we do the morning RHR rips, I wake up in the morning, then like I got to get like all my ducks in a row with other stuff because I know I'm going to be out of pocket for 2 hours for RHR. And then I have to scramble because I always procrastinate to make the list for RHR. So I scramble to make the list, which takes like a half an hour, 40 minutes.
You got the list out at 9:15 today. That was 45 minutes before recording.
I know. Wasn't that pretty good?
Better than usual.
Noted.
Did I just throw you under the bus?
What up, Jevy's with us at least.
Jevy, thank you for joining us in this morning rip. Freaks, why don't you sound off in the comments? What do you prefer, the afternoon rips or the morning rips? There's a bunch of freaks sitting at work right now that are like, yes, morning rip.
Don't bother if you're going to say that you prefer the morning rips. Just, I don't want to see it.
I mean, for all the freaks out there, I mean, Thursday afternoon is usually when the boozy lunches start. Wednesday is a little too early in the week to do a boozy lunch. Thursday is probably more acceptable. And so people have to choose, do I do the rabbit hole recap? Or do I go to a boozy lunch?
No. I like our 1 p.m. rips.
Yeah, we need to bring back martini lunches, by the way.
The best time.
Life was better before martini lunches became socially unacceptable.
Fuck, I mean, martini lunches are one thing. I want to bring back the globe bars that they had in Mad Men.
What were they? I never watched Mad Men.
I like watched like the first season or something like that, but he had like a bar in his office that looked like a globe, but you opened it up.
Oh, a globe bar.
Yeah.
I thought you said glow bar. I thought it was like a bar of soap that glows. Really,
and I get when I eventually get my Citadel, who knows, we're all poor now, but when I eventually get my Citadel, I'm going to have a nice baller globe bar in my office.
I can't wait to drink from it, or from the bottles that are in the globe bar. That'll then be poured in the glasses, and I'll drink from that glass. But you mentioned we're all poor now. Yesterday, Clark Moody's dashboard was flashing the price of Bitcoin at $0, zero sats per dollar, $0 market cap. So Bitcoin went to zero yesterday. Clark's dashboard is the final arbiter of the Bitcoin price. It was flashing zero for quite some time yesterday. So all the naysayers out there had a few hours to rejoice. Bitcoin officially died, according to Clark's dashboard. But now it seems to...
Someone commented on Twitter, is like, I wish it happened while Marty was reading it live. Missed opportunity.
Wasn't a Wednesday rip, unfortunately. However, it seems like Bitcoin's been resuscitated. It is back alive. It's currently sitting at $18,902, according to Clark's dashboard. One cuck buck is going to get you 5,290 sats. We're currently sitting at a 362.1 billion cuck buck market cap. I'm going to hit the support Bitcoin development button. And the link is broken. For me, at least. The Wi-Fi is wonky here at the comments. It's blocking very vanilla addresses. I need to talk to HR.
Oh, it sounds like it's not wonky. It sounds like they have a filter on.
Yes, they have a filter on. Got my brother trying to peek in here. Not right
you
now.
You should use a VPN when you're there, so Parker can't spy on all of your internet traffic.
Parker, we like to say that Parker works hard at Unchained Capital, but he's really just sitting there in his office, dissecting every website that people are going to.
We gotta do a tell-all rip with Parker, where he lets us know what your true porn habits are like.
They're non-existent. This kid's just looking at very wholesome kid. I just referenced myself as a kid.
Mark knows.
I'm 31 years old. I'm not a kid anymore. You're not a kid anymore, Marty. Watching porn in the office. All right. If you're watching porn in the office, you have a problem. Okay. Seek help. Thanks for the advice, Ty.
I'm Rocket.
We're currently sitting at block height 755,243. We are 757 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be on September 27th, which is next Tuesday. And as of right now, it's estimated to be a downward adjustment of 0.8%. Blocks have been coming in at 10 minutes and 5 seconds on average. And that is less of a downward adjustment than earlier this week. I believe earlier this week, last week, it was predicting around 4 or 5% downward adjustment. So it seems like hash rate has come online, or we just have better intra difficulty adjustment data coming to light. There are currently 3,000, that's the predicted next block. There are currently 5,975 transactions in Clark's mempool. Samurai Whirlpool unspent capacity is sitting at 5,661.46 bitcoins. The unspent value is 106.9 million cuck bucks. That is the state of the network. Maybe you want to start there. We name this The Tale of Two Pals. P-O-W-E-L-L-S. We have Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, and Jesse Powell.
Both of the same initials, too.
Yeah, J. Powells. Two J. Powells. One's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and the other one is now the chairman of Kraken, no longer the CEO. He stepped down. But talking about the price of Bitcoin, it fell down to the low 1800s yesterday in reaction to the first J. Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, who came out yesterday and announced, he proclaimed, the markets were waiting with bated breath. Everybody around the world was sitting around their Bloomberg terminals wondering, what's he going to do? 75 bips, 100 bips.
Well, not everyone.
No. It seems like everybody on FinTwit and Bitcoin Twitter was.
Yeah, Bitcoin Twitter is just fucking obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. So 75 bip rate hike was announced yesterday, proclaimed. Everybody waiting for this one man to tell us where the markets are going. And yeah, that's really what I wanted to focus on. I think we both had similar tweets. You were just basically ashamed at everybody focused on the Fed. And I tweeted like, it's just absolutely insane. That.
Well, I opened Twitter when it was happening. I was like, I can't do this. And I just closed Twitter. And then I sent my shake my head tweet like 2 hours later when I finally was comfortable opening it again.
Yeah. People go crazy on FOMC day.
We're like separating state and money, but everyone's obsessed with, you know, what a bunch of unelected people say and behind open doors.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just highlights why we're in Bitcoin. That's why I sent out my tweet, which is, it's absolutely insane that the financial world waits with bated breath for one man to make a proclamation. It's literally like when you pick a new pope and you're waiting for like the white smoke or the black smoke or whatever. And everybody's like, ah.
How long till it doesn't matter anymore?
That's a good question. That's a good question. A decade? Between 10 and 20 years?
That's pretty bearish. You're just a bear left and right.
I mean, no, I think.
In Mandibles, it didn't take that long.
How long did it take? I got to read this fucking book.
I don't know, like 5 years.
I wouldn't be surprised about that either.
I guess we're part of the problem because we named the episode that, but
I had a different name for the episode and you made me change it.
Your episode name is horrible.
Let's A/B test the names with the live chat right now. The name that we went with is A Tale of Two Pals, and the one I want it. What did I want? The Ghouls. The Ghoul, what did I name it?
A the name ghoul, so good you can't even fucking remember it.
The Ghouls are attempting a massive land grab. I've been calling people ghouls this week.
Yeah, I don't like how you call people ghouls and demons, but that's just me. I don't think we need to dehumanize our enemies. I think that's lesser people.
They dehumanize you. Why would you not meet them?
I think we're better than that.
No, you don't have to dehumanize them.
I mean, if you're calling them a ghoul or a demon, you're dehumanizing them.
I mean, if you want to like dive into the etymology of the words and the history of the words. I mean, yeah, this is the whole point. Like, it's to highlight that people who could otherwise be not forthright, but good humans can turn into demonic entities.
A ghoul is an evil spirit or phantom, especially one supposed to rob graves and feed on dead bodies.
See, you're going with the Google definition.
Yeah, well, we're live on air. I'm just fucking typing
it in.
It's
a demon-like being or monstrous humanoid, all right? So there is a human aspect to it. Humanoids. No, I think these words, these descriptors are actually important because it helps you delineate between the humanoids, the people who want you to believe that they're human and on your side, but are actually ghoulish on the inside, and the actual good humans, who I would like to believe that you and I fall in that bucket, the latter bucket, the latter
part. Well, anyway, back to the tale of two Powells. I thought it was interesting. I wonder if it was coordinated. Well, like Bitcoin Twitter was obsessed with the Fed release. They were obsessed with Jay Powell, Jerome. Wall Street Journal came out and announced that Jesse is stepping down from Kraken. Like, it was literally at the same exact time. And I wonder if it was coordinated. Like, they wanted it to be not as, they wanted it to like fly under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very smart because you just, Jesse Powell would be able to hide from the trends, where the trending Powell was obviously going to be Jerome Powell. This news drops at the same time the Jesse Powell news sort of gets buried in that. But talking about this, I mean, Jesse has been CEO of Kraken since 2013, I believe is the founder, and it's been a long journey for him. I think
he's my single favorite major CEO.
I agree. He's pretty based. Jesse and I have had our differences on Twitter before, but I think at the end of the day, props where props are due. He's one of the most ideologically pure CEOs out there in terms of really fighting for freedom and not being afraid to speak his mind about certain issues.
Pro-privacy. Yeah. As far as you can go to at a KYC exchange, but
yeah.
I've always had a lot of respect for him. It's a bit sad to see him go.
It is.
He's still the largest shareholder. He's still going to be chairman. My guess is there's been rumors that they were going to go public for a while now, and my guess, like, his anti-state tweets and whatnot are just not great optics for going public.
I sit on the board of a publicly traded company. I have my anti-state tweets.
Yeah, well, they were already public.
That's true.
And slightly lower valuation.
but this isn't something that was abrupt, or at least that's not what the Wall Street Journal was reporting. Kraken's been on the search for a replacement for Jesse for about a year now. So this is something that has been planned and was finally executed. And who's replacing him? Their CTO or their COO? Ripley.
Mentioned in the comments, mentioned Adam Back. I always forget that he's CEO of Blockstream. I always feel like he's more of a research role.
Yes. So Dave Ripley, who was Kraken's COO, has moved to CEO, is taking over the COO position. And Dave, if you're listening to the podcast, you need to update your Twitter bio. You're no longer the chief operating officer. You're now the chief executive officer. You should update that on your Twitter. Let's see if he's tweeted recently. He tweeted 19 hours ago. Figured he'd update it. So what do you think?
What?
You think future Kraken?
Well, now former ride or die free Carlos in the comments has me thinking about my previous comment. And now, because it's a morning rip, I'm stuck in my head.
Get out of your head.
But he mentioned Dorsey and Back.
Why is he former ride or die freak?
Because he said he likes morning rips. He's been demoted. Yeah, I mean, obviously, those two guys are legends, and I have a lot of respect for them as well.
Yeah.
I think this is them setting up to go public. Hopefully, Jesse continues to have a large role at Kraken. It's particularly like his work with like pushing back against the New York Department of Financial Services with the BitLicense and regulator overreach and transparency reports. I don't know of any other KYC exchange that does transparency reports to the level that they do, reporting all of the information that is requested from all the different agencies around the world.
Yeah. Let's hope. Jesse, if you're listening out there, thank you for all that you've done up to this point. We wish you well moving forward. I've heard a lot of people who've worked at Kraken saying that the CEO position really pulled Jesse away from what he really liked, was actually focusing on products, getting his hands dirty, really digging into particular aspects of the business, which the CEO role makes you take a more generalized position, where a lot of these cypherpunks, they want to work with the tech, you know. So maybe he's got something brewing for the future. Maybe he's going to go build something else. That would be cool to see.
The optimist in me says maybe he'll focus more on Bitcoin again after all the shitcoin bullshit, but the realist in me says that's probably not going to be the case.
Hey, let's hope the optimist wins out here. Moving along. Next thing on the list, actually first thing on the list, we really are going out of order here, but Riot and Blockware Solutions came out with a research piece on the Bitcoin fee market, Bitcoin network fee market, and the nature of the fee market, the different aspects, and made some predictions about how the fee market would develop and potential energy usage that would be correlated with the Bitcoin network growth. And so if you want to learn who pays transaction fees and how fees are set, why high congestion fees are transitory, and how Bitcoin transactors could use fees to route around unreliable miners. So really digging into the nature of the fee market, the transaction fee, how it can be used to skirt censorship by enticing a miner to include your transaction in a block by attaching a higher fee to that. And yeah, it's a really thorough report just on the nature of fee market, Bitcoin mining, and why it's important and how it works from an economic perspective.
They have a lot of great charts and diagrams. And also Pierre came out as a bear in this piece.
Pierre is on my side. Bitcoin will use less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Let me find it.
Time will tell.
Let me find the actual. Anybody transact deep reorgs. I can't find the particular section.
You don't have to find it. It's in there somewhere.
Okay. I'm not going to find it.
I love these reports, though. I want to see more of these reports.
I do too. But again, even though I love this report, it does. I would be a hypocrite if I didn't call it out, which is something I wrote about earlier this week, which is I do think while these reports are nice, a nice to have in terms of trying to project out future activity on the Bitcoin network, I do think it's a fool's errand to try to get hard data on future activity in the network, because I don't think anybody can predict, because we don't know what we don't know. And what we don't know is how creative the people building on Bitcoin, on the Bitcoin, different layers of the Bitcoin stack can be, and what they can actually bring in terms of utility and innovation to the network. There's things that haven't been built yet that will be built in the future that allow us to leverage Bitcoin in new ways, which will eventually affect activity at the base layer and the layers above it. So trying to take a snapshot of activity today and project that out.
I don't like long form research because it's like perfect or exact. I like long form research because it's just nice to read and explore the thought processes behind it.
Yeah.
And humans love projections. So
they do models, throw your models out.
Always be projections and models. I like the idea of, you know, skin in the game with this kind of stuff, right? Instead of just being vague generalities, you know, this is where I think it's going. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll own it.
I like that.
As long as you're not like saying like it's, you know, 100% foolproof, definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Now that we're on this conversation, it really does irk me that you're calling me a bear, because I don't think we're going to use more than 50% of the world's energy.
Marty, I mean, look, nobody knows how the different stacks are going to interact and how whatever you just said. It's too early for me to repeat it verbatim. To be clear, at 50%, I'd probably not. But I just, like, under 1% is just crazy.
Again, we're not going to belabor the point, but we're going to create so much energy abundance.
The point is there's dramatically different
expectations. Nominally, less than 1% of energy in the future will be significantly more energy than the network is using now. Like, orders of magnitude more.
I'm aware of the reasoning. The reasoning is that we will be, as a global society, we'll be generating significantly more energy. I just think a large portion of that will be Bitcoin.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah, I look forward to 20 years from now when we can one of us will be able to dunk on the other one.
God,
you'll be calling yourself a kid and you'll be over 50.
I can't believe I did that. Am I immature? I'm not a kid anymore. I do have that kid inside of me, but I've also got children of my own. And I think when you have children, you can't reference yourself as a kid.
Is that the official line? If you're 50-year-old and childless, are you still a child?
I mean, I don't want to be too judgy, but yeah, in some regards, yes.
when have you ever hesitated to be judgy?
Never. Well, yeah, actually, it's funny you say that because I'm just about to judge your fucking list. This morning list, we get two topics, and then we're into fucking software updates.
Software updates are important.
They are, but they're usually like 3/4 of the way down the list.
I mean, it was kind of a quiet week for like real news.
Well, I've got, I mean,
Bitcoin stuff. Yeah, we can talk about your non-Bitcoin stuff after.
Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, it, Bitcoin it does play into it, but yeah, we've got some Marty Jones stuff to end the show.
As Marty Jones put a strong portion at the end.
Yeah. We joke about Marty Jones, but I think these are important topics to highlight. Speaking of Jesse Powell getting washed under the Jerome Powell rate hike news, I think the stuff I have on the back end of the list also got brushed under the rug a little bit too. But we're on software updates. We'll do software updates, then we'll do our shout out of the week. LMBits version 0.9.3 has been released. Nothing too crazy there. Fountain version 0.4.9 has been released. Earnings, referrals, and comments have been upgraded. So if you want to refer people to Fountain, you can do that now and get paid for it. Trezor Suite, this is a big one, version 22.9.3. Can't believe it took this long, but Trezor Suite finally has coin control.
I mean, it just goes to show like how much work needs to be done in Bitcoin privacy. So, you know, like we can.
It's 2022 and Trezor finally gets coin control.
We can get into a bunch of bear market fights over this or that deep into Bitcoin privacy tools and stuff. But like the majority of people are using Ledger Live and fucking Trezor Suite. And like they didn't have coin control until just now, this week. And what is coin control? Coin control is the ability to select which UTXOs you want to spend. I hope it has labeling in it too, so you can label the UTXO, so
it has,
you know,
labeling. It has labeling.
But your wallet is not just a single balance. Your wallet is made up of many different size UTXOs. You can think of them as like bills, dollar bills in your wallet.
It's like a coin purse.
Yeah, and when you spend, you choose, your wallet will automatically choose which UTXOs you spend from, and those all go on the input side of the transaction. So if you're not careful when you do that from a privacy perspective, those transactions, those UTXOs that are selected for the transaction are linked together in common ownership, because for most, the overwhelming majority of Bitcoin transactions, any Bitcoin transaction that's not a pay join, the input side is all the sender. So you want to use coin control and labeling so that you can choose which UTXOs you spend within each situation. And now finally people on that use Trezor's built-in, like Trezor's software wallet.
It's a web app. It's a web, or not a web app, a desktop app.
Yeah. Of course, you can also use Trezor with Sparrow or Spectre, and then you have coin control already. You've had that forever. But the overwhelming majority of people probably that use Trezor use the web suite.
Yes. And right now, so that's it. We had a Trezor product manager in here a couple months ago. I was asking coin control, gap limit. I need more of these hardware wallet suites need to like include gap limit shit. So you can actually, like, if we put our XPub in our BTC pay server and people create a bunch of invoices and don't pay it, you essentially, when you plug your Trezor in to go find the Bitcoin that is coming from invoices that were successfully paid, it scares the shit out of you because you can't see it because you basically created so many invoices that it goes beyond the gap limit and right. The software is not looking for it.
The gap limit is a setting that's set in your whatever software wallet you're using with your hardware. That is, we're going to look at address balances, and when we see a certain amount of addresses that have zero balance, we're going to stop looking for the next set of addresses. And usually that gap limit is defaulted to 20. And as Marty said, on BTC Pay Server, a lot of times you have all these empty invoices. So if your gap limit is set low, the wallet thinks it's done checking addresses, but really it should keep on going and keep on checking. Sparrow lets you change the gap limit if you have that issue.
Yes.
I don't think Trezor Suite still doesn't let you switch the gap limit. I don't think I've ever used Trezor Suite.
That was my
I used their web version that they had before Trezor Suite like years and years ago.
I do like Trezor Suite. I have used it. That was my one product feedback. Second was full node.
Can you connect it to your full node?
You can connect to an Electrum server. So that's like, yeah.
That works.
And they're working on expanding that beyond Electrum server as well.
Does it have built-in Tor? It does, right?
Yeah, it does. That's actually part of this update.
Can you just paste an Electrum? If you can just paste an Electrum node's Tor address into the client, that's pretty. That's pretty solid UX.
Yeah. That was actually part.
Easier UX than that is what Spectre and Sparrow also allow you to do, which is just run Bitcoin Core on the same computer and it automatically connects to it.
Yes. That was the other part of this update. They added Tor progress bar. It was unclear.
Right, they already had Tor support, but now like it shows a loading bar. And since Tor has been so under attack for months now,
yeah, I'm let's sure talk about that. People are really worried about it. Sending out warnings like asking people to spin up guard nodes, and
I kind of look at it the same way as you know when people are going to start freaking out about Ethereum getting censored and attacked. Anyone who's paying attention knew that. I mean, we've been talking about.
Did we lose him? God. Did we lose me? Live chat, am I still here? It's a pretty unfortunate freeze frame for Matt there. What was he talking about? He was talking about Tor, comparing it to Ethereum. Yeah, Tor seems to be under a very consistent distributed denial of service attack for quite some time. And that just made me think of another topic that you didn't put on the list, but we should definitely.
Where
talk
I got
about.
Cut off.
Talking
here, so
thinking about comparing Ethereum security to Tor security.
Yeah, Tor is not set up for an adversarial environment. Tor is set up for a world where the U.S. government protects them and doesn't attack them. And you know they use a lot of centralized whitelists and stuff like that to try and stop attacks. It's just not really that robust of a network. So ideally, we need some kind of replacement, whether that's I2P or some kind of mixnet or something like that. But on the positive side, Tor getting like hammered does kind of increase people's motivation to improve it, like to have improved alternatives.
Yes. But this actually made me think of another topic you don't have the list that we probably should talk about. We're talking about Tor being under attack, and in Iran there seems to be an uprising underway as people are pushing back against the hijab mandates and the the discrimination towards women generally. There seems to be pretty violent uprisings in reaction to that yesterday. NetBlocks tweeted out that it seems like...
it's been happening for like a week now. If you go to the NetBlocks article, they've been cutting internet, mostly mobile internet. They've been cutting mobile internet for almost a week now, on and off, to stop people from covering the protests and coordinating. They've also blocked WhatsApp.
Instagram. WhatsApp, Instagram's the same company.
I think Facebook and Instagram are already blocked, I'm pretty sure.
I saw something that Instagram got taken out because it was being used for coordination.
But anyway, we're seeing it more and more, you know, when these protests happen, the first thing that these authoritarians do is they cut internet access. They use internet as a tool to quell the protests and quell the coordination of the protests.
Yeah, it was cool. I did see some Iranian Bitcoiners tweeting out videos of their Umbral node, like installing Tor tunnels to route around that, trying to get that out as...
Yeah, but if they cut your internet on mobile, yeah, that doesn't help. Like, what you need is, like, we need mesh nets and even, you know, tools like Starlink come into play, even though they're completely centralized. If they're centralized in a different jurisdiction, like the U.S., you could have situations where you have, like, meshes that then connect to the wider internet via like a single Starlink instance or something like that.
Yeah. There are very obvious pain points and weaknesses in the global internet infrastructure. And I mean, what's happening in Iran right now is highlighting that acutely.
And I think some of that has been happening in Lebanon too. I mean, the Lebanese banking situation is really
another
bad
thing you didn't put on the list.
It's early, bro. I told you. I like the afternoon rips.
Well, highlights.
Put on the list.
I didn't because I forgot about it. We're supposed to check each other.
I fucking remember. Yes, it takes two to tango. It's on you, bro.
I know.
Have some personal responsibility.
Yes. Putting this in our Telegram chat, Car. But Lebanon, the banks are just remaining shut indefinitely. The banking association.
Because they weren't letting people withdraw their money.
Well, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I don't know if you saw the one video of the woman who went in there. I'm pretty sure it came to light that it was a fake gun, but she like held them hostage. She held them hostage for, I believe, like $20,000. And
it was her money.
It was her money. And she needed it. She was trying to pay for her sister's like chemotherapy. And like it went out. She literally had her sister in the car getting ready to go to the hospital to get treatment for cancer. And just had a video of her sister looking anemic and in dire straits. And this woman was driven to the point of robbing a bank to make sure that her sister got the treatment she needed. This is what happens. Like, this is, I mean,
this is what people in America don't realize, right? It's like, okay, Bitcoin has fallen 60% or whatever, but the alternative for a lot of people is that they just lose everything because they had to trust a fucking corrupt banking regime that refuses to give them their money.
Yeah. And so, I mean, car showing a video, there's mass rioting in Lebanon right now because the banks are just the banks were allowing people to get out very small amounts of their money just weeks ago, but now you can't even go to a bank to get out any money. Again, money is arguably the most important tool we use as humans. It allows us to coordinate economic activity so that we can be productive and live in a civil society. And the Lebanon Banking Association has completely cut their citizenry off from arguably the most important tool they use day in and day out. And this is why we Bitcoin, as Matt just described. Yes, the price may have crashed 60, 75, 80%. However, if you hold your private keys and you hold your own UTXOs, no matter how far the price of Bitcoin falls, you'll still be able to access your money if you can plug in your wallet, or not even plug in your wallet, if you can spin up a PSBT and broadcast a transaction. This is the power of Bitcoin. Crazy times in the world right now, freaks. We're not going to have a doom rip, though, till Marty Jones comes out towards the back end of the podcast. Moving along.
Straight doomer.
Moving along with the software updates. Spectre version 1.13.0 has been released. I didn't see anything really that stuck out to me in these
It's mostly like UX improvements.
Yeah. This was cool. This got demoed last week at BitDevs here in Austin. There's a new privacy-focused block explorer called Spiral. Terrible name. We were joking about
it. What did they say about it at BitDevs? This is unrelated to Spiral from Block.
It's funny because their logo, it's like the Spiral logo too, just in like a square. We came to the conclusion that these were just nerdy cryptographers who were working on a pet project that just so happened to be Bitcoin related, and they were probably just completely unaware that Spiral from Block exist.
And, well, it's really a homomorphic encryption project, and they're just applying it to Bitcoin.
Yes, exactly.
But the general concept is that you can look up. So if you look up a Bitcoin address, if you look up a Bitcoin address on a Block Explorer, you have to trust that Block Explorer. If you're not using your own node with your own self-hosted Block Explorer, that Block Explorer is able to see your address lookups and see your IP address and connect them together. So you always need to be careful when you do that. You should ideally use a VPN or Tor. Both have their own. But even if you do that and you're not changing Tor instances or you're not changing VPN servers, the addresses can still be linked. So this is a way of doing it that they think does that they're saying that it doesn't leak any information to their servers. They can't link addresses. The trade-off is extra compute on their side. It's a little bit more.
It takes a while to process. Car, I just put an address in our Telegram chat. Let's try this live.
But they think they can get around that by offering it as a paid service. What's really interesting to me is, well, first of all, I don't know if the math is sound on this. That's why I'm curious what they said at BitDevs. But if the math is sound, there's an interesting application here where, you know, that same trade-off model is what light wallets have to deal with. If you're not using your own node and you're using like a Ledger Live or a Blue Wallet or something, like you're trusting, or Moon, you're trusting that server with your privacy because it knows all the addresses you look up. But using this technique, potentially, if it's efficient enough, you could have a light wallet that isn't leaking that information to servers.
Yeah, which would be pretty dope. Justin, Buck, and Ben are the leaders of the Austin Bitcoin or Austin BitDevs meetup here. And I think Justin admitted like the paper was really like above his pay grade.
Yeah, I tried to read the paper. I was like, we can talk about it on the pod and maybe someone smarter than me will let me know if this is actually legit or not.
Yeah.
But for now, please don't use it naively and like just assume you have privacy. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. So I just went to mempool.space, went like five or six blocks back and picked up a random address from that block. So we'll see. Just keep that running in the background, Car, and let us know if it ever finds it. It should have 10.74 million sats in it.
This is taking longer than when I tested it last time. It's taken a while.
It took a while at BitDevs too. The internet here in the commons. Hey, HR, commons HR. I know you're listening. I know there's some of you down the fucking hall listening to this right now. Let's pay up for some faster internet. Come on. I know it's a bear market. In the bull market, we're buying the building, okay? We're jacking it up with the highest quality fiber that we can find. Moving along. This was cool to see. Proof of work. Eric Sirian came out this week and announced that there is an official Signet for a Fedimint instance. So this is the first testnet. So if you're interested to experiment with Fedimint, which is the open source Chameleon Mint protocol, not to be confused with Fedi, which is a private company building on this open source protocol, But yeah, it's, if you guys want to test it out, there's official test net. They have a mobile app, Fluttermint Mobile. They have a web app, Fluttermint Web. They have a CLI client and Webimint as well, which is the newest experimental client. So it's been cool seeing people download that and share screenshots and video demonstrations of them using Xiaomi and Mint's leveraging the open source Fedimint protocol on testnet. So this seems to be like a material step in the right direction. The fact that they're comfortable opening up the testnet and getting people playing around with these Xiaomi and Mints is a good signal. You have anything to add here, Matt? Did we lose him again? Oh, no.
No, I'm here. This is cool. Shout out to Paul Miller, who helped build this Fluttermint mobile wallet for you to test it out with.
Paul, I don't know if you're listening, but you're literally like 20 feet away from me if you want to come in and talk about it. He's probably not listening. It's probably
this is cool. It's finally get to get some real world testing. I'm a little bit distracted because I'm supposed to have that board meeting. I thought it was going to be an hour, and they changed the time on me to 9 minutes from now.
What?
I'm texting them.
Do they not know? Do they I have no idea. Do you people running companies out there that we're on boards of not know that the RHR is the most important hour of our week? You're going to just change a meeting in the middle of the show? Shame on you. Shame.
I checked it before we went live.
Shame.
Yeah, it changed 7 minutes before we went live.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll keep texting.
Okay.
Let's keep it tighter just to...
This is going to be fair,
this is a company board meeting. This is a non-profit board meeting, so...
Non-profit, yes. I'm sorry for shaming you people publicly, too. I didn't mean to do that. It's just...
Well, we didn't say who it is.
We're vibing here. We're vibing. Bitco added Lightning. It's cool to see.
Yeah, it's cool to see because it means that Bitco customers can accept Lightning. But like, if you read the post, they're like bragging about how it's a custodial solution, and that means it's superior for their customers.
Yeah.
And like, even the title, look at the title, Bitco unveils custodial Lightning. Like, imagine like you just got like streamers. Woo!
We got a custodial wallet, another one.
But Bitco supports the back-end infrastructure for a ton of companies. So them adding Lightning to their suite of products means that those companies can presumably start accepting Lightning if they want to.
Yeah. I mean, and props where props are due. Mike Belshi. Isn't he often credited with creating multisig?
I have no idea.
I think so. I think he might be. Let me know if I'm wrong in the comments, freaks. Here's Paul. Come in, Paul. Do you want to talk about Signet? Sure. All right. You just hop in my chair. You're going to take over. No, you're going to replace me. Paul Miller's here to talk about the Fedimint Signet.
You can talk to Matt.
So you can hear Matt. Well, he's going to talk to me?
Pull up. That faucet link?
Yeah, yep. Car just added up.
Yeah. On your computer, I need to like rejoin.
The man, legend, Paul Miller himself.
Hello. What hey, long time listener, first time caller. This is really excited for me. So this is, I will allow this.
Here, go widescreen for him so people can see. No, just go side by side.
With
So this is Fluttermint. This is an open source front end for Fedimint. It's written in Flutter. That's why it's called Fluttermint. It's not really the best name. And there's a spinning globe, and so you join a federation, and so there's a Signet federation at faucet.cirion.io. So if I scan this, now I have zero sats. I'm on Signet. And I can receive sats, so I just hit receive.
Okay. How does someone get Signet Bitcoin? I mean, Signet's like a testnet of Bitcoin.
Yeah, actually, Eric's apparently a little Signet poor. Like, it's hard to get like more than 1,000 sats out of him. Because like Signet is like testnet. It's just instead of mining blocks, somebody just signs that this is the block. I don't know if they wipe Signet. It's also really easy to run like a separate Signet, but this is like the Signet. I think they wipe it every once in a while. But yeah, for whatever reason, it's kind of hard to get.
Isn't the whole point supposed to be that it's easy to get Signet Bitcoin?
Yeah, same with Testnet. Like Testnet's pretty hard to get. So I'm going to have Marty's computer scan. This little scan my invoice. I'm trying to receive 420 sats.
Oh, 420, nice. Can you hear me, Matt?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yeah, but you're in the same room as him, Paul.
Hey, I got 420 sats. I did. Anyways, it's an app that works. It's really simple. You can send and receive. The kind of the cool Fediment thing about it is that if you have this app as well on Signet, because there's like a Lightning gateway that is watching that I'm basically asking to like send and receive Lightning on my behalf, and then I get credited or debited Charmin eCash. But if I am peer-to-peer sending with this app, it's still like conceptually Lightning, but then the Federation somehow is able to see that, oh, this is like peer-to-peer.
Within the mint.
Yeah, within the mint. And so it just does it within the mint. It doesn't actually do it over Lightning. So you are sending directly peer-to-peer.
Hell yeah.
eCash tokens.
Are you bullish on this?
I mean, it's pretty fun.
Is it a worthwhile custody trade-off in your mind?
I've been thinking, the really good talk to watch is Obi in Miami at the open source stage. And they talked a lot about trust, and they were really upfront. And I think it's funny, like Fiat Jobs, like kind of mad about this. It's like, oh, these guys show up and they're like, all of a sudden custodial trusted is cool now. And like, and I think he's been kind of pushing that, like, you know, trust and custody are kind of a lot of how we are.
Channels.
What's that?
He likes hosted channels a lot.
He likes hosted channels. I just think we need to, understand that there is going to be trust involved in almost everything that we do. So we just need to be smart about it and understand what we're trusting.
You don't want there to be.
What's that?
You don't have to use Bitcoin in a trusted way if you don't want to.
Right, you don't have to. It's just about being, I don't know, it's about being smarter about it. I just think Obi put it best in this idea of this second party, somebody who's right. Going to offload some of these Bitcoin challenges for you.
If people are going to use like a fully custodial solution like Wallet of Satoshi or an exchange like Coinbase or something like that out of convenience, then it is a clear net benefit that if they do use a custodial solution, that the custody is federated to reduce the custodial risk. And that you have privacy from the custodian, so you don't have to trust them with your privacy.
But what would we say to the people that worry that creating this type of custody model will lead too many people to depend on that, allowing a rug pull in the future?
I mean, look, when the sailors of the world claim that there's 100 million Bitcoiners, what they really mean is that there's like 90 million people that are holding Bitcoin in full custody solutions that are often KYC'd. So we're already there. Like, well, what do we think the number of Bitcoiners that are holding self-custody Bitcoin, not even using their own node, just holding their own keys with the Light wallet, is probably like 15 million or 20 million or something like that?
Maybe less, I would imagine.
Yeah, at the max, at like the top end.
Yeah.
Well, and Obi's point is that there might be just a hard limit on how many people will ever
be able to own a UTXO.
Well, no, just be comfortable managing their own keys. Like people who actually want to take self-custody might be something like 10 to 20%. So I think it's our job as the hardcore Bitcoiners to help as many people as possibly could do that, to do that, but then help the other 80, 90% get off of Coinbase and at least have something like a trust model where you should know who you're trusting. You should spread out the trust like among this federation or some other way. Like I would rather, you know, I would rather hold a, you know, a cold card for my parents than them to have the money on Coinbase, you know, that kind of thing. Like this is not perfect, but this is better. So can we keep moving people towards better instead of, yeah, like having everybody just have Bitcoin on Robinhood while we have fun with our own private keys.
Yeah. And a bit unrelated, but in that same theme is better with Fediment, particularly. That's something that Justin mentioned at BitDevs last night that he's really excited to see with the Fediment open source project specifically, is there's a lot of NIMs contributing to this. And he, this is exciting him because obviously we have a lot of developers becoming afraid to put their names out there in these open source projects because of litigious actions by certain individuals. And it seems that there's a, at least, I mean, obviously Justin, Eric, and a few others are public with who they are, but Justin's really bullish on this theme of NIMs coming to Fediment and building on it instead of people with their public names.
If you watch that GitHub repo, it's just wild. Like, I've been in enough open source projects to know that like most open source projects are actually just like a couple people building it and then like 10 people complaining in the issues and then maybe hundreds or thousands of users, you know. But for that project to have so many open source contributors is really, to me, very bullish on the just the design of, you know, the architecture of what Eric and Justin and them have built.
You know? Yeah. No, I mean, the demo they just did on Signet, that was pretty seamless experience. Scan, receive, scan.
I found a bug last night where it was taking 5 seconds to show the balance because I hard-coded a 5-second delay to show the balance. So that's where this app is. But like the actual Rust foundation, the actual Fediment, the actual federation stuff, there's a lot of work that's gone into that, and I think it sounds like really, really solid.
Well, thank you for contributing to the project. Yeah. And thank you for coming in and doing the demo.
Absolutely. Someone just DM'd me. It's like they're talking about you. Like, all right.
All right.
Love the pod, guys.
Oh, well, we love you.
Keep it up.
Thank you, Matt. Do you have to go? Have your text been working?
I don't know what I should do.
Maybe, yeah, just join the board meeting while you're on the show and let us all listen in.
It's so fucking frustrating. Time zones, Matt. It just goes back to my UTC maximalism. It's like, well, all of time zone fuck up.
You got UTC maximalist running the show?
Do you think we can wrap this within like 20 minutes?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Okay, let's do that.
That was hey. This is the beauty of the Bitcoin Commons. You're talking about a project, somebody working on it, sitting right out there, can come and do a demo. It's a fucking beautiful vibe down here in Austin, Texas. Bitco adds Lightning. Bolt.fun announces global tournament. This is a gaming tournament. Or no, this is like a development it's a tournament. Hackathon. Yeah, it's a hackathon.
A lot of prizes. 3 Bitcoin worth of prizes are available. And they want... they want to help foster more Bitcoin projects, and specifically they want to help foster more Bitcoin projects that turn into, you know, proper projects and just don't die after like 3 days of hackathons. So they have this new format.
Yeah. Pretty heavy hitters on the judges panel too. So if you're entering the tournament, bring your A game. Okay. Go get those sats. This was cool to see. Molvad announces hardware security key and they're using open source hardware and Secure Element, correct?
I'm not sure about Secure Element, but the whole thing is open source.
Open source firmware. They announced at the open source firmware conference.
But this is just like the beginning of the announcement, and we're going to get more details soon, but it's cool to see. It's cool to see them going into the hardware space. You can imagine this being used to authenticate VPN sessions with Molvad at the very least. But it seems like they want it to be open so you can use it to sign into websites, maybe use it for other signing mechanisms. And the thought process is basically is right now, like my if you're using a software VPN like Mulvad, a hosted VPN like Mulvad, your VPN keys are held, your VPN private keys are held on your computer. So if your computer's compromised, then so is your VPN session. But if you're on this thing, it gives you an additional level of security.
Yes. Really cool to see. Shout out to the Mulvad team. My VPN. Matt likes them as well. This is called, how are we pronouncing this?
It might be a honeypot, but if they're a honeypot, we're all going down together.
Is this Tilitus or Tilitus?
I don't know. It's a horrible name is what it is. it's something I would never want my children to get. You know, it's like, he's been stricken with Tilitus.
Yeah, you don't want to get Tilitus. Do want to give it to your computer, though. Border agent. I mean, this is not really new news to us. This is, I mean, ICE border agents are just.
The news is that a senator is fucking calling it out. And so this is Senator Wyden, who was, I think, was in the Commons.
He was in the Commons, yeah. He was actually he's pretty based.
He's senator, yeah.
He's against the Bank Secrecy Act. He's against the Patriot Act. He pushed forward SOPA. A lot of Bitcoiners like to rag on the quote-unquote liberals, but this guy, Ron Wyden from Oregon, is pretty center of the road and really likes privacy and innovation.
Yeah, but anyway, he's talking about how Border Patrol will just confiscate your phone, take all the data off your phone without a warrant, and then they store it for up to 15 years. So that's fucked up and shouldn't be happening. So props to him for calling it out. But also, if you're traveling across the border, just remember you are completely pants down in that situation. You want your devices to be encrypted. You want your devices to be powered off. You want to be traveling with as little important shit as possible if you can. You have no, very little constitutional right protection when you're crossing a border. And they will make your life miserable if they want to.
Be aware, freaks. Be aware. Also be aware, as reported by Motherboard, which is a Vice company, the U.S. military bought mass monitoring tools that includes an internet browsing and email data that is collecting 90% of internet traffic.
90% global internet traffic.
Which is insane. What is that 10%? That's what I'm curious. How do I dive
in? 10% is like their own internet.
network
data.
That's
probably because like there are a lot of things that slip through and they just can't say 100%. But their overwhelming majority they're collecting.
The network data includes data from over 550 collection points worldwide to include collection points in Europe, the Middle East, North and South America, Africa, and Asia, and is updated with at least 100 billion new records each day. That's so much fucking data. 100 billion a day, a trillion pieces of data every 10 days. That's insane. How could you even, dissect all that? The AI that they're using has to be fucking insane.
Look, a lot of times they don't care about actually being able to use the data. They just store it indefinitely and
go back and look for it.
Go back and look later.
It's like oceans of data. It's like a universe of data right there. All right.
So, like, it reminds me of like when you like you see like some kind of incident or whatever, and it's like, oh yeah, like the FBI had a bunch of data on them and didn't do anything. It's like because they have a file on every single one of us.
Yeah. They didn't go after Jeffrey Epstein. Well, it was hidden in trillions of data points. We had it. Yeah, you just couldn't find it if you tried.
Well, the Epstein stuff is different, but yeah, that's just intentional.
Ah, it's a good segue. Speaking of the Epstein stuff, onto the Marty Jones section of the podcast. The Clintons held a gathering of the ghouls in New York City earlier this week. This was what I was referencing when I said, there was something that got swept under the rug earlier this week, which was this symposium in New York, the Clinton Global Initiative. What is the subtitle there? Let me pull it up real quick. taking action together. And so I know we're pressed for time, so I want to play a few clips. I want to explain before the clips. So yeah, Carr, play this one. It's the one below it, the change the charters tweet. Yes.
We are going to change the world. There's just
turn it up to
not enough money that's going to go into the emerging world. And we must change the charters of the IMF and the World Bank, or we're not going to get there. There's just not enough capital. It is estimated to decarbonize the emerging world is $1 trillion a year. We're talking maybe $100 billion is moving into the emerging world. And so, but there's huge pools of capital, but that capital is just not equipped to be taking the first loss piece. And so if we're really serious about the notion of moving the world faster so our children and grandchildren can have that bright future, it has to be done in a way that we're bringing all the governments together. We have to relook at the responsibilities and the roles of the World Bank and the IMF, and they play important roles. They have important connections with all these countries. But we need to find a way to stop thinking about a project here and a project there. That's happening, but it's happening at such a slow rate, we are not going to get there. We're fooling ourselves to think that one project, which may be a significant project, is going to decarbonize the world at the time that we need.
All right.
And so we have to have...
Yeah, all right. Did you try to throw a cum rocket in there?
Yeah, one of the freaks wanted a cum rocket before we wrapped.
You sickos. But, no, again, you've been joking that this is the Marty Jones section of the podcast. However, I do think this is extremely important to point out. Larry Fink, in conjunction with the Clintons, Bill Gates was at this, Melinda French Gates, I guess that's what we're calling her now, she was at this. A bunch of governors and world leaders were at this event. Again, they're pushing this UN Sustainable Development Goal forward. There's so if you didn't listen to the episode I recorded with Whitney Webb and Ian Davis last week, we dove headfirst into the UN Sustainable Development Goals, their SDGs. There's 17 of them. And what we're seeing here is Larry Fink beginning to create a narrative, particularly one of the Sustainable Development Goals is allowing the IMF, the World Bank, to change their charters to merge with the big banks of the world, the JP Morgans, the Bank of America's, HSBCs, so that these banks can go into the developing world, underwrite some of their debt, restructure some of their debt, and essentially commoditize their land and even their oceans to a certain extent. And so I wanted to highlight this because it is on the horizon, it's coming, and we just need to highlight the hypocrisy of this for Larry Fink to think that if we somehow restructure the IMF and the World Bank charters, they're suddenly going to turn into these entities that are additive to the world is insane. The IMF, and that's something that Whitney highlighted in the episode last week, there was a 2008 Army intel report that got leaked by WikiLeaks and basically let the world know that the Army, the U.S. Army, views the IMF as a weapon of war that they can use to go into countries and enact economic warfare on developing countries and countries that they do not agree with. And so the IMF is not a good entity to think that you can just rejigger the charter of the IMF and it's suddenly going to become this thing that helps the world is insane. I mean, Argentina, we've talked about it before, since 1944, Argentina's had an annual inflation rate of 192%. Since 1956, Argentina has taken out 21 loans from the IMF. So that's one loan almost every 3 years on average. And it still has 192% annual inflation. Like the IMF is not good. Larry Fink, the Clintons, Bill Gates, they're all trying to force this narrative on the public that we need to change all these charters and combine these supranational banking entities in the IMF, the World Bank, the BIS, and the private banking sector, the JP Morgan, the Black Rocks, the Bank of America's of the world, so that they can go underwrite all this debt they need to decarbonize the world. Again, this climate hysteria narrative is going to continue to heat up. We're transitioning out of the COVID hysteria into the climate hysteria, and they're going to try to essentially commoditize the global South, the developing world. And they're really just going to rape and pillage these areas of the world. And it should be stopped. I don't know how. This is why we Bitcoin. Matt, I don't know if you have anything to add.
No, I need to wrap really soon. And I want to say, and I want to get Carr into it too. You want to just, can you just do the clip of Jamie Dimon responding to that representative?
Yeah, ghoulish rep. Not that
and
one.
Then we'll wrap.
Yeah. But there was another one in here. We won't play the clip, but before I had another one, there was another clip from that Clinton Global Initiative. I don't know who the woman was, but she was asked, how do we get these ESG initiatives passed? And she basically said, we printed $17 trillion for COVID. Like, we can do that again for this. So they plan on printing trillions and trillions of more.
The money must be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be there.
Works.
All right. Ghoulish rep clip. God.
You have all committed, as you all know, to transition the emissions from lending and investment activities to line with pathways to net zero in 2050. Do you know what the International Energy Agency has said is required to meet our global 2050 net zero targets of limiting global temperature rise to 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit or 1.5 degrees Celsius? So no new fossil fuel production starting today. That's like zero. So I would like to ask all of you and go down the list, because again, you all have agreed to doing this. Please answer with a simple yes or no. Does your bank have a policy against funding new oil and gas products? Mr. Dimon.
Absolutely not. And that would be the road to hell for America.
Yeah,
based.
That's fine. That's fine. Sir, you know what?
Wait, I'll keep going because this is important.
Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank should probably take out their account and close their account. The fact that you're not even there to help relieve many of the folks that are in debt, extreme debt, because of student loan debt, and you're out there criticizing it.
Pretty fucking hilarious.
Hilarious. Jamie
Dimon fuck himself, but that's pretty fucking hilarious.
I mean, props for props are due. I mean, we're big props for props are due show here at Rabbit Hole Recap, and you got to give massive props to Jamie Dimon in that particular situation. It's hilarious because in the same hearing, he said, I mean, this is a short clip, so you can play this.
This game,
every year, $30 billion of ransomware, AML, sex trafficking, stealing.
Gotta restart it.
I'm a major skeptic on crypto tokens, which you call currency, like Bitcoin. They are decentralized Ponzi schemes.
Shit.
And the notion that's good for anybody is unbelievable. So we sit here in this room and talk about a lot of things, but $2 billion has been lost. Every year, $30 billion of ransomware, AML, sex trafficking, stealing, is dangerous.
And yet his bank offers banking services to Bitcoin and crypto companies. So it's hypocritical. Like, if you really believe that, Jamie, you shouldn't be supporting Ponzi's with banking services. But back to his comments to Rep. Rashida Tlaib, the ghoul base. Like, yeah, we're not, like, this whole decarbonized net zero shit is bullshit. It doesn't make any sense. It will lead us to peril, as Jamie Dimon correctly pointed out. It will lead America on a road to hell. Like, this anti-fossil fuel insanity.
It was.
Yeah. No.
You didn't have to go on a rant. You just like, no, that will lead America on a road to hell.
Yeah. I mean, if it feeds directly into the Clinton Global Initiative talk that was earlier this week. We're going to link to the stuff in the show notes. I highly recommend you go through that thread on the Clinton Global Initiative. Like, it's really insidious what these people are trying to force on the world. This is why we Bitcoin. They plan on doing all that stuff by printing trillions of dollars out of thin air like they did for COVID. And if we take the money printer out of their hands and use this tool, Bitcoin, that has separated money from state, we can actually begin to enact effective change against these ghouls. Before we go, I know this is Carr's last rip, by the way. I'm just going to ninja launch that on you freaks.
Yeah, I'm excited for you.
I am as
Thanks,
well.
Guys. I owe you guys everything, honestly. It's both of y'all. Y'all have been tremendous help every step of the way. So thank you.
Thank you. And we're both
a true ride or die. This doesn't change just because you're leaving us.
Well, you
always be a ride or die.
It's not like he's leaving us for another show. Carr's got his own business that is becoming extremely successful.
And right. Pleb Lab.
And yeah. Pleb Lab. So. Yeah,
Pleb Lab is right down the street. So I think Logan's going to take over. So he works with a lot of us here in town. So should be good.
Yeah, Logan's here. Logan, if you're listening, we have work at 10 a.m. tomorrow. I have not... not put that on the calendar yet, but it would be remiss of me to forget the shout out, the one shout out of the week that we have. Sup freaks, the KC Bitcoiners are putting on our second ever block party called Blocktoberfest on Sunday, October 23rd from 2 to 8 p.m. It will be a local Bitcoin economy in the heart of Kansas City with live music along with tacos, beers, margs, and vendor items, all paid in Bitcoin. No cuck bucks allowed. We had 100 plus people come through our spring block party, and we're looking to double the size of this one. So if you are in the area and want to make a trip to Kansas City, we'd be honored to have you attend. You can find more info at kcbitcoiners.com or at Bitcoin Party KC on Twitter. You can also email kcbitcoin@pm.me. If you have any questions or if you'd like to sponsor or make a donation via our BTC Pay server to help support the event, looking forward to meeting some of you freaks there. Thanks for all that you do, Marty and Matt, and have a very Bitcoin day.
I met those boys in Nashville last week. We actually had an event called Grassroots Bitcoin that we've been keeping under wraps. That was for meetup organizers from around the country, and Carr was there as well.
That was
I got to meet epic. The KC boys. They were great. And we're actually, Carr, we're going to be releasing those panels on the Bitcoin Card podcast feed, including Carr's panel. Carr did a great job moderating.
Dude, that was so much good information there, man. We should do those more often.
Yeah. So to any freaks that want to listen to those panels, just search Bitcoin Park in your favorite podcast app. It's populating now. I uploaded them today, so... if it's not on your podcast app yet, it will be within the next like 24 hours.
Okay.
All right. I just want to say to the freaks. Yeah. One sec, Marty. I just want to say to the freaks, like the board meeting that I need to be at is the OpenSats board meeting. OpenSats is a very important project that's near and dear to my heart, and we don't get any funding. We don't get any payment for it. So we're trying to now like build a proper foundation so it can be way more effective than it has been over the last year. And I think we're getting there. And today's board meeting is like the first step in that process. And obviously it was a stumble. Udi is leaving the board.
is he really?
Someone in the comments asked about him. I can't say who's replacing him, but it's great. So yeah, more updates on that front. I mean, obviously they're probably talking about a lot of the updates right now, and I'm not in the fucking board meeting. You're going to read Boostergrams?
Yes, we have a week Boostergram week, freaks. We have 150,000 sat boost from at Eric99 stack sats and stay humble. At Chris_B came in at 9,999 sats. Thanks for the great rip, guys. Hope to see you at Bitcoin Amsterdam 2022. I will not be there, Chris. There is a great meetup at Blast Galaxy on Wednesday after the conference that you can't miss. Let us drink over there to the downfall of fiat cuckbucks. Greenpeace can go fuck themselves. Stay humble and stack sats. Agree there. At Ape Myth Randir, 7,778 sats. New drinking game for every time someone says adversarial environment to replace Mandible's game. That's a recommendation. I'll let you freaks decide on that. And our perennial booster at 7,777 sats at letter 6173. If you read this, you must do 10 push-ups or your cold storage will be donated to Clawson's Bugs. And I don't want that to happen, so I'm going to jack out 10.
Carr, this is your last rip. What's you have some final thoughts for the freaks?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the freaks, man. You guys have been nothing but family and friends, and so many memorable moments over the years, like this one right now, Marty doing push-ups. I'm gonna miss it, man. It's fucking blasting out with Marty Ben all day. Like, damn, Logan's so lucky.
Well, we love you, bro, and this is just the beginning. Lots more to come, and I'm really excited what y'all are building at Pleb Lab.
It's not a goodbye. It's a see you later. I mean, you're going to be right down the street.
Yeah.
And we'll see you here. We're pumped for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your success. And thank you for all the help. You've helped jack up this show. It was me, my...
Your backyard.
My backyard, my father-in-law's bedroom, and my studio in Brooklyn. And now we're here, the Bitcoin Commons, actually looking somewhat legitimate. So thank you, Carr.
Yeah, no, it was all you, Marty. I just got behind the scenes.
All right. Go to your board meeting. Tell them I'm pissed. Because this could have been like a really solid 2-hour rip.
It's really fucking frustrating. I agree. They know. But I will tell them. I love you, Marty. I love you, Carr. Sorry about this scheduling fuck up. And I love you, freaks. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love.